in some cases, this is one of them, the philosophy and the halakha really, it's impossible to entirely separate them. This has always been a topic that interested me, and I've thought about giving this shiur on Shavuos, but I decided whether I'll give it one day for Shavuos. No time like the present, we would discuss that. And that is the question of whether believing in Hashem is a mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to believe in Hashem? So, of course, the context here in our parsha comes from the Aseret HaDibros, and actually the first of the Dibros, the Torah tells us here in the Parakhov, Pasuk Aleph, it begins, Veidavre Elokim Eis Kol Dvarim Ha'ela Lemor. This is the introduction. What are all these Dvarim? It's just as an aside, that's why they're called Dibros, because the Torah refers to it as Dvarim, not mitzvos. The first one is Anochi. Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, Asher Tzitzicha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of the land of Mitzrayim, Mibes Avadim, from the house of slavery. I'll read the next pasuk, even though it's the next dibra, only because that it's really the two psukim and the relationship between these two, which is actually an undercurrent and a sub-theme of the whole shir. The Torah continues in pasuk Gimel, Lo yielcha elohim acherim al pana, you should not have any other gods in my presence. That is another dibra, and then finally the third dibra, Lo sasa lecha pesel, v'chosnuna asher, v'shmayim imal asher b'aretz mitachas, Asher b'mayim mitachas l'aretz. Not allowed to make any engraven images, Lo sashtacha b'elahem, Lo sa'avdeim, you can't do any of avodah zarah, can't worship them. Ki anochi a summary, Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, Kel kana, poker avon, avos avonim, al shleshem arivim, l'sona ay. V'sachas l'alofim, l'ovay, l'shamray, l'sfosay. That is the summary of that entire group of dibros. Then you have losisa, the third dibra. Then you have zachor, which is the fourth dibra, and finally kibud avim, which is the fifth dibra. So this whole group of psukim, really through pasuk, including in pasuk vav, pasuk zayin is itself kind of an add-on almost, it seems, but certainly through pasuk vav, which are discussing, again, it's categorized as two different dibros, and they're all different forms of belief in Hashem on the one hand, and prohibitions regarding avodah zarah on the other hand. The Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, counts the mitzvah to believe in Hashem as the first of the mitzvos. Mitzvah HaRishona, says the Rambam, the first of the 613 mitzvos is, Hi Atzivoy Asher Tzivanu B'Amonas HaElokus, in the belief in the divinity, divine force, Hu Shenamin Sheisham Allah V'Siba, there's a prime cause, he is the cause, he is the power, the source that creates everything that comes after it. And that is the, based on the pasuk, the pasuk that we just read, the beginning of the Dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the Rambam uses this pasuk in our parsha, the first of the Dibros, as his source, as his makor, that one of the 613 mitzvos is, in fact, in his counting the first one, that there is a mitzvah to believe in Hashem. Now, before we get into the bigger and somewhat well-known machlokes of the others who don't agree with him, just to point out that in the Rambam himself, there's some slightly different formulations, which may give rise to some interesting, again, halachic slash philosophical notions. Many have pointed out that whereas the Rambam stresses and uses the term ha'amonos, or emuna, belief, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam begins his Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Yesodiyah Torah, in the beginning there as well, with this same notion of belief in Hashem. But there, the verb that's used is not emun or lahamin, but rather leida, to know Hashem. And many have focused on that. Some have explained, and it's certainly possible, that Sefer HaMitzvos is originally written in Arabic, and the translation to Hebrew, to ha'amonas, may not have been so accurate. Maybe he really always meant leida. That's a possibility. And in fact, many of the Mefarshim, the Maaser Rokeach, the Radvaz, or even the Malbim in our Parsha, point out that they think that the Ikur is to know in the sense of focusing on a cognitive knowledge, intellectual. I was just speaking with someone yesterday who was talking about how unfortunately there seems to be an anti-intellectual trend in the Torah community, and someone to divorce even Torah from intellectualism. I don't know if he's true empirically or not, but if he is right, then that's a tragedy. We believe, the Rambam in particular, but even if you're not as extreme as the Rambam, we shouldn't be embarrassed about intellectual achievement, especially in the area of Torah. The Malbim and these other portions focus on, that should be our focus, that is the highest level, to have knowledge and Amaretz Chosid, and they point out that specifically using the model of Avraham. Now, it is worth noting, and I think I may have said this in other contexts, that my Rebbe of Rosenzweig always like to point out that there's different midrashim when it comes to Avraham. On the most basic question of how old was Avraham when he came to know Hashem? Right, some say 3 and some say 40. Right, the Rambam goes out of his way in the Mishnah Torah to tell us that it was when he was 40. Rosenzweig goes that he didn't think that was a coincidence because it's very different models. Whatever you want to think of Avraham, maybe he wasn't like your 3-year-old or my 3-year-old, but he wasn't what he was when he was 40. It's obviously much less mature. So therefore, he always he understood that the notion of Hashem, of Avraham discovering Hashem at 3 was the more instinctive idea, or blind faith idea in Hashem, as opposed to 40 would be the more mature and intellectual and cognitive approach. And therefore, it wasn't a coincidence, and that were entirely surprising that the Rambam would go out of his way, knowing the Rambam Shitos and Hashkafos, to focus on the particular opinion that it is 40. So, even though these Mefarshim, the Malbim, and others are focusing on Avraham, and again, they are Bedas the Rambam, so they're within their, makes sense, but it is worth noting, if one wanted to see a different approach, you didn't have to run away from Avraham as a model either, but you might have to shift the Midrashim that you focus on. I just want to, because there's a lot of philosophical Torah on this topic, and we'll do enough of that in the rest of the year. I don't want to get too bogged down in it, but I did see this just today for the first time, interesting quote, which I think may be relevant, that comes from Rav Shach's Sefer on the Rambam, the Avi Ezri. And Rav Shach writes there, very personally, autobiographically, that he was bothered by this and some related points, and he went to ask the Brisker Rav. And he's asked him a number of questions, not only this inconsistency, but he says, how come when we touch up this mitzvah, we talk about the mitzvah of emunah? Because emunah, to believe, implies something of a leap of faith, something blind, you know, we're trusting. So the Rav Shach, I don't understand. It's obvious. It's a pashut that the world has a manhig, that there's a creator of the world. Like, this takes blind faith. This is obvious. Of course, how could anything be created? We know this is the old watchmaker proof. Right, Rav Chanan, exactly right. But again, many, well before Rav Chanan, and even many non-Jewish thinkers, it's been known as the watchmaker proof. If you see a watch lying on the street, then by accident, it hasn't been done. Or others give the metaphor of the book. If you spill some ink, it's not going to come into a nice, beautiful book. You see something complete and something sophisticated, and there's obviously some compelling truth to that. And as far as Rav Shach was concerned, it's so obvious that why does that have to be emunah? Like, we know it's true. We don't have to believe it's true. We know it's true. That was one of the ways he questioned. we questioned the Brisker Rav. So what is this belief versus das? So he quotes there that the Brisker Rav said he was also bothered by these questions, and he asked his father, Reb Chaim. And Reb Chaim told him, again, I think a very simple approach, but I think it may work even in the Rambam nicely. He says the truth is that there are, and there needs to be both. Leida, to know, implies things that are knowable. And there are things that a human being can know, and a human being is obligated to know those things. So he agreed with Rav Shach, it says, the basic idea that there is a manhig to the world, that there was a borei olam, so that is knowable, because it's rational, it's obvious, it's the watchmaker proof, etc. But there are plenty of other things when you discuss Hashem's hashkacha in the world. Right, just this week, or last week it was, my 6-year-old son is asking me about Hashem. Does Hashem know what's going to happen? If Hashem knows what's going to, he can't use the word free choice. He doesn't know what that means. But that's what he's trying to ask me already. You know, I hate to tell him that he thinks this is not one of those mysteries that's going to get any easier for him when he gets older. He's closer to thinking he knows the answer now than he will be when he gets older. Right, this is a mystery. I was proud of him for asking the question, but I don't have an answer. Tried to explain it to him, but I don't really have an answer. How can I explain it to him? Right, there's certain things that are we believe them, but they're impossible. They're beyond time. The mind, this is the way Rav Shach quotes it, the mind is limited by time and space. So anything that is beyond time and space, which certainly any detail about Hashem Yisbarach is, so how are we going to possibly, it's impossible to know it in the cognitive sense. And therefore, it says to know, leida, is as much as the mind can grasp. But, you know, at the water's edge, when that runs out, then there are all sorts of other things that we still, quote, know are true. But since we can't know them with a capital K, if you will, then we need to believe them with a capital B. So you need to really have both. Anything that's knowable should not be blind faith. If something is knowable and you just have blind faith in it, that's a chisaron. You should make sure to know it. You should learn about it, understand it. But there's going to be a limit wherever that is, and maybe different people, obviously the brighter people may know a little bit more, but at the end of the day, it's still overwhelming even from the most brilliant of people, which Reb Chaim, of course, would have characterized him. And therefore, you still have to have that leap of faith. And I didn't have a chance to look it up, but Reb Shach pointed out that it very much overlaps to something that he says, the Beis Halevi says at the end of Parshas Bo. I didn't have a chance to look that up, but that's a Maram Malkum if you're interested. So Reb Shach, this is in Hilchos Tshuva, in the Avi Ezri, and the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo. So I thought that was interesting in terms of this well-known idea of Emunah versus Yediyah. And there's a sefer called Mitzvos HaMelech, which I have. It's now so far 3 volumes. It hasn't entirely finished the Mitzvos HaSeh of the Rambam, but it's trying to get through the Sefer Mitzvos by someone from Tells in Chicago, Rav Cement. He spells his name C-Z-I-M-E-T, but I think that's how you pronounce it, Cement. I'm not sure where the Z comes in. The Cements I know don't have a Z. Maybe they're not related. I don't know.
What's wrong
with the C-Z? Nothing wrong with it. I just don't know why you would...
pronounce it that way.
But anyway, my just so you know, my wife's Israeli. That's what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Cuba Zirconia? Is that what you're referring to?
No, my name is Elliot Caesar.
Okay. Too bad there's a tape for that didn't go over. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, so the Mitzvah Samelach, so he points out that if you take a look on the Rambam Mishnah Torah, he talks about, he does not say there's a mitzvah to know in the beginning. When he talks about there being a manhig, so he refers to that, and that's what's called the Yisod Torah, is Yisod HaYisodos, Leidas, Shayesh, Nimsa, Shah, etc. It is only in Halacha Hey and Halacha Vav, not that far away, but a little bit longer, when he starts getting to some of the details of how Hashem runs the world, that's when he speaks about there being a mitzvah. So the fact that, again, getting back to Rav Shach's point, do we need to be commanded to believe it's so obvious? So he points out that the way the Rambam, he doesn't say mitzvah right away, he delays that for 5 halachos, perhaps that's a proof. What I didn't like a little bit, what I thought was an obvious question on what he said, is that this idea from the Brisker Rav is very much based on the difference between belief and knowledge, or yediyah and emunah. But yet the Rambam, when he finally gets to the Mitzvah Zaseh, talks there in Mishnah Torah, at least, about yediyah. So that does not fit in perfectly. That diyuk, if you wanted to make that diyuk, that he waits till halacha hey to have the word mitzvah, so that only works with the beginning of Rav Shach. It does not work with the end of Brisker Rav's point, but that's a little aside pickbook on for me.
Isn't a lot of this posited in the Tchem Solovav, the idea?
All the Rishonim deal with these things. Yeah, of course, absolutely. He's not dealing with it from a halakhic aspect in terms of whether it's part of the minyan of mitzvos, but he's certainly many of the Rishonim deal with it. And some of the other Maamar Kamos we'll get to are, as I mentioned at the beginning of this year, is a little bit atypical for us. Some of the Maamar Kamos, some of the issues are a little bit more philosophical, and therefore some of the Makaros will be as well. The Sefer HaChinuch is interesting. We'll get to, ultimately, the focus of the shiur is really not only the Rishonim that don't count this mitzvah, but why not? What's the machlokas about? We'll get to that. But even among the different shitos of people who do count as a mitzvah, belief in something, so it's interesting, they're not all the same. If you take a look carefully, you'll see that they don't all quote the same thing. So the Rambam, again, to review, the Rambam said, don't we have to believe that there is Hashem, that there is a creator? That's what the Rambam says, that there is a poel l'kol nimtzayim, that he was the Siba of everything, he is the first cause, the prime cause, the belief in a creator. But it's interesting, if you take a look at the Sefer HaChinuch, so first of all, the Sefer HaChinuch does quote that, but Sefer HaChinuch adds a belief that this creator was the force also behind Yetzias Mitzrayim, which again is in the Pasuk. It's interesting the Rambam does not say that though. The Rambam quotes this Pasuk L'Halacha, this idea, he drops that. Not that the Rambam obviously denies it, Chas V'Shalom, but he does not include that in the formulation of the mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch, who usually goes with the Rambam, and in this sense, by the fact that he counted something, he is following the Rambam, but it does make that addition. Furthermore, the Smag and the Smak both quote as a mitzvah, their first mitzvahs respectively, a belief in something, but both have something very different than the Rambam. The Smag counts a mitzvah, but it's not the belief in a creator. Rather, the Smag never says anything about Bria Shmaim V'Aretz, the Poel Nimtz, or anything like that. The Smag's lashon is, you have to believe that the one who gave us the Torah, he's already assuming a lot of human history already, the one who gave us the Torah is also the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the Smag's formulation. So there is a mitzvah of belief, and obviously included in that is, well, that presupposes that he exists. But that's not how the Smag teaches the mitzvah. And the Smak says that we have to believe that there is a creator, true that in that sense it's like the Rambam, but he adds that it is a and that the creator is a Moshe, and that there is a Hashkacha, that Hashem runs the world, knows what's going on, is involved. As I said, even though there's these, and I think we'll understand perhaps as we see the other shitas entirely, why, or we can guess as to why the different Rishonim have slightly different nuances, but whatever the difference is between these different shitas and formulations, as I said, in a certain sense, they're all in one category, because they do count something. On the other side of things, there is the most famously the Bahag, the Bahag Halachos Gedolos, but it's not just him, it's also Reb Sajigon, the Sefer HaYuraim, as well as the Tashbetz, who has his Sefer HaMitzvot, called the Zohar HaRakia, not to be confused with the Zohar, nothing to do with the Zohar HaRakia, the Tashbetz, all of them don't quote anything. Their first mitzvah is something else entirely. They never quote any kind of a belief as being part of the mitzvahs. Just to mention before we get to the question of why don't they count it, what are the riyas back and forth, what could the machlokas be about, it's worth noting also that everything, all the Rishonim I just quoted until now, are monei hamitzvos. We know that there are many of these Rishonim are monei mitzvos, and it's interesting to see who counted what, who didn't count what. That's what I alluded to. But of course we also have a discussion, this comes up, was mentioned before about philosophical svarim, which we will get into, but it's also true that Perushim on Chumash. If you're learning Parsha this Shabbos, you open up your Mikros Gedolos, take a look at some of the Parshim, how do they understand this Pasuk of Anochi, and there you will see discussions as well. We'll be getting to the fact that the Ramban discusses this topic in three places, twice in the Sefer Mitzvot, which we'll get to, but the Ramban also talks about this here in Shmos, in on the Esar Shedibros. The Eben Ezra discusses this topic both on our Parsha as well as in Devarim and Parshas in the Eschanan, and the Abarbanel also discusses it. Abarbanel discusses it in his philosophical treatise known as Rosh Amana, which we're going to get back to, but more well known to you is the Abarbanel HaTorah, and the Abarbanel HaTorah discusses this here as well. And in these Rishonim HaTorah, you see interesting things as well. The Eben Ezra quotes a fascinating machlokas. It's not identical to the one we're talking about, but it's very related. Whether Anochi is actually one of the Dibros. We've been brainwashed to assume that, of course, Anochi is the first of the Dibros. And Eben Ezra writes that many Kadmonim believe this, but he's actually not at all convinced. Eben Ezra thinks maybe there's 10, but he breaks it up differently. Anochi is an introduction to the Dibros. He does not think that Anochi itself is one of the Dibros.
There's no sequel.
Huh?
Which is the church's perspective.
Wait, what, how do they count the 10?
They don't count, they count the first two together as one.
Uh-huh. And then what are they, so what is number two then? You got a bucky? Okay. Go down to Alabama, go to the courthouse in Alabama, it'll still be up and we'll...
And there's no sequel, it's the only one with added sequel.
We'll get back to that, yes, we will get back to that. The Abarbanel agrees with the Bahag. The Abarbanel quotes it with favor. He quotes the Bahag and says he agrees that the Rambam is wrong. It should not be counted as a mitzvah. Although, as we will see in Rosh Amana, the whole purpose of the Sefer Rosh Amana that the Abarbanel wrote was to defend the Rambam in his Yogim Al-Karim. This, for those who were there or may have listened online, this gets back to my lecture series of a few years ago about the Yogim Al-Karim. We had a Moshe Shabbos lecture series three weekends in the winter. We discussed Yogim Al-Karim. In fact, that many Rishonim argued on the Rambam's premise that there were 13, what should be in the 13. So the purpose of the book, so most notably, was Rav Yosef Albo. He wasn't the only one, but Rav Yosef Albo was one of the big ones who criticized the Rambam for that. And the Abarbanel wrote a sefer called Rosh Amana to defend the Rambam from criticisms of the Abarbanel, excuse me, from Rav Yosef Albo and from Chasdai Kreskis, other of the medieval Rishonim and philosophers. So it's interesting that the Abarbanel in that sefer, as we will see shortly, defends the Rambam, but he himself, he never says anything about opinion there. He's very disciplined. You know, very disciplined. It's lahavdil, lahavdil, lahavdil. You know, we speak in our day and age about, you know, opinion journalism versus objective journalism, and unfortunately people don't have the discipline to write objective journalism anymore. The Abarbanel could be the model, because he has an entire book which he says is about the Rambam, so he just defends the Rambam. He doesn't let you know until you look at the Abarbanel HaTorah that the whole time he himself disagrees with the Rambam. It's an incredible thing. He never lets on a Rosh Hashanah. It's actually startling. But if you look at the Abarbanel HaTorah, he just thinks Poshet that the Bahag is right. The Ramban is actually one of the most fascinating shitos. The Ramban al HaTorah is beferish that he agrees with the Rambam. Ramban al HaTorah is beferish that he agrees with the Rambam. However, in Sefer HaMitzvot, as we'll see shortly, he has very different impressions. The Rambam speaks about this, the Ramban speaks about this twice. As you know, just a brief word of Hagdama, The Ramban wrote a commentary on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos, and he did two different things for that. Number one, the Rambam broke up his Sefer HaMitzvos into two parts, the Mitzvos Asei and the Mitzvos Los Asei. So as a running commentary on those two sections, the Ramban, when, not always, but often, when he disagreed, he wrote Hasagos, he wrote disagreements. And that has led to a whole literature, which we'll mention a little bit tonight as well, of Mefarshim that wrote to defend the Rambam from the Ramban's Hasagos. So there's a sefer called the Leif, a parish called the Leif Sameach, and the Megillas Esther, which has nothing to do with Megillas Esther. They're on the page, if you will, in the classic printing of the sefer of the Rambam, and that's where you have this, you know, little havdalah, like a Gemara. The Rambam's in the middle, and the Ramban disagreeing on one side, and those defending him on the other side and on the bottom. But the Ramban also wrote a second thing, which is that at the end of the two sections of Asseis and Los Asseis, so the Rambam not only did he disagree with like details along the way, but the Ramban often felt that the Rambam just completely got the count wrong. That things that the Rambam counted, he shouldn't have counted, and things that the Rambam left out, he should have counted. So at the end of each of those sections, the Ramban will have his own list of mitzvos Asseis, which he thinks should be part of the 613, which the Rambam forgot. And he writes very bluntly, his title is not like oblique, it's mitzvos shashakachas, things that the Rambam just plum forgot. Yeah, exactly. Very blunt. And at the end of the Los Asseis also, and again, you're familiar with some of them. One of the most famous ones has to do with Mitzvah Yishev Haaretz, which the Rambam doesn't quote. I've talked about Birchas HaTorah. The Ramban quotes that as in his, at the end of the Mitzvah Asseis, the Rambam didn't quote it. Things like that. So the Ramban does not mention Muna in either of those two sections, in the blunt, forgotten Rambams. But in his Hasagos, the Rambam does talk about this topic. Ramban talks about this topic twice. Yeah. Once right on our mitzvah, right in the beginning of Sefer Mitzvos. But also, if you take a look at the Rambam and Los Asseis, hey, the Rambam in the beginning of the Los Asseis is discussing Avodah Zarah. So there's a complementary discussion, just like you have the complementary Luchos of Anopi and Eliyah. And there in the Los Asseis, you have a second contribution of the Ramban. The reason it's important is because the Ramban in the Los Asseis, in his commentary, his Hasagos to the Los Asseis, hey, so there also, like Al HaTorah, like Al HaChumash, he is befarish that he agrees with the Rambam, that belief in Hashem is a mitzvah that you have, that's a commandment to believe in Hashem. However, when it comes to his more well-known, those other ones that are not as well-known, what the Ramban is famous for is his commentary right at the beginning, his Hasagos on Mitzvah Aleph, where he introduces us to the Shita of the Bahag, this famous Shita of the Bahag. The Bahag, again, it's always hard to, it's impossible. If someone doesn't count something, so unless they told you why they didn't count, there's often, if you will, no paper trail. And that's exactly the point. The Bahag wrote a succinct list of mitzvos. If you take a look, he doesn't count mitzvah of Emunah. But because he didn't count it, he didn't tell you that he didn't count it, he just didn't count it. So, okay, it takes a little bit of a detective to realize that. But okay, once you realize that, but now you don't know why. He didn't tell you. He doesn't write anything about the topic. The Ramban is one of the first, if not the first, and most certainly the most famous one who addresses the topic and discusses, and really that's like a good Pesach for us now to discuss this machlokes of the Rishonim who do count and those who don't count. Again, we've seen that the Rambam is not the only one, but he is the most well-known, the chief architect of the approach, the school of thought, that belief in Hashem is itself one of the mitzvos. And we saw other Rishonim who agree with him in principle, although maybe they formulate the mitzvah a little bit differently. And as we go along in the shir, we may conjecture that perhaps the reason that those Rishonim who agree with the Rambam but formulate it slightly different than him, maybe it's because they're trying to defend themselves and insulate themselves from the attack and the criticism of those who don't count anything, which is something to consider. But the bottom line is there's a whole group of Rishonim who do count belief in something, let's put it that way. And then as we saw, the Bahag, Reb Sajigon, and others, there's a whole other group of Rishonim or Agonim who don't count anything. Belief is not one of the mitzvot. Not that, I don't think you have to believe in it, but that it's not one of the mitzvot at all.
So the group does count the mitzvah Shebaleh, other mitzvah Shebaleh?
You mean like what, like Avas Hashem?
Avas Hashem,
yeah. I think so. So the question is, why not count? I want to divide up the rest of the shir into two large, maybe a few smaller categories, but two basic issues I want to discuss the rest of this year. Two large issues. Number one is why not to count, and number two, which is even the bigger issue, which is what are the rais, if there are, in Chazal, Gemaras, or Midrashim, that might point in one direction or the other. So, in terms of why not to count, this is where the Ramban is most famous. And the Ramban quotes the opinion of the Bahag, and then the Ramban theorizes as to the reason for the Bahag, and he probably should be read carefully enough that he's referring to two different things. And in fact, I'll read the second one first. Actually, I take that back. I'll read you the main part and then we'll extrapolate a little bit. The Ramban here says, Vareisi labal halachos shlo yimnosam. I see in the Bahag, he doesn't count anything here. It doesn't count anything like this. Mitzvah b'chlal tayag doesn't count this. Why not? Hanira midaito, says the Ramban, what is the theory, why not? She'ein minyan tayag mitzvos, ela gzeiros yis'ale shegozer aleinu l'asos omin ano shelo nasa. What does it mean? What's in the tayag? Mitzvos. What does mitzvos mean? Gzeiros, rules, things that we must do and things that we're not allowed to do. That is what tayag is about. The 613 things that we have to do and that we are not allowed to do. Aval, he says, but ha'emuna b'mitzvuso, the belief in the existence of Hashem, shehodienu b'osos v'mos mekila ashchina, etc., hu ikur v'shoresh, shemimenu nolda mitzvos, lo yimna b'cheshbonan. Says the Ramban, you know, sometimes something is not up to snuff. Other times it's too good, if you will. Says the Ramban, you can't count belief in Hashem as part of the tayag. Because the tayag is 613 things that Hashem wants you to do. But it's too circular. That the mitzvos, the tayag mitzvos, presuppose that there is some being who can be mitzava you. If you don't have a belief in the Creator, then there's no one who would be commanding you mitzvah aleph? Once you have the first thing, then you could have the others. So he says, that's why, this is the Ramban's theory, that's why he thinks the Bahag, or others would agree with him, don't quote it. Not because it's not true, chas v'shalom, because that's not a mitzvah. It's true, but it's not a mitzvah. It's the prerequisite for all of the mitzvahs. So to speak, counter the mitzvah would be almost demeaning, if you will. It's just the mitzvah. It's not just the mitzvah. It is the prerequisite. It is the basis of all mitzvahs.
Would it be considered a hechsher mitzvah?
If you wanted to give it halakhic terminology, that would be probably the closest. You're right, that's not a bad one. But he doesn't use those terms at all. He's not. So his whole point is that we're not talking about the mitzvahs. We're talking about something else. And in fact, Rav Chasdai Kreskes in the Or Hashem, which is one of the classic philosophical works, which is in general very critical of the Rambam, and here as well, so he takes this Ramban and he runs with it, and he points out again how this would be entirely circular. He just elaborates on this basic premise that you can't have sivuyim unless you have someone to be mitzava. So how can you be mitzava that there should be a mitzava to be mitzava? It's too circular. That is the Chasdai Kreskes and the Abarbanel's approach. And in fact, as I said, the Zohar Rekia, the Tajbates, seems to mention that as well. Now there is a second theory, which may be, and this was, I think it was Alan who alluded to this before, I would call it maybe a 1A and a 1B, they're not entirely different, and therefore it's not surprising that it's also in the Ramban. And that is, the fact is that it's worth noting that unlike all the other things, the rest of the nine, if you will, of the Dibros, this is the only one that is not mentioned B'Lashon Sivoy. Anoch Hashem Elokech, I am the Lord your God. There's no therefore. There's no don't or do anything. There's lo yia, there's lo sisa, there's everything else has a no or a yes. Do this, don't do that. But it doesn't say Shema, listen to this, or Yada, says the Rabbah. It doesn't say to do anything. It just mentions that Hashem exists. So the whole Loshon, that whole nature, is Sipur Dvarim Balama. It's just like telling you something. It sounds, again, whether you go so far as to say, like Ibn Ezra, that it's not even part of the Aseret Dibros, it's just an introduction, that perhaps even further. But certainly, to call it a mitzvah, it's not B'loshon Sivoy. How can you call it a mitzvah?
The word Dibros doesn't mean Sivoy.
That's also true. Okay, maybe that would be the Rambam's defense, and Echanami. And the Lev Sameach, which is one of those commentaries on the side of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, so he's the one also. The Ramban just mentions this as an aside, but the one really fleshes it out that I saw is Lev Sameach, and that's where he writes. It's not written as Da or Shama, you know, hear, and then Anochi. That already implied that there's some imperative to know this, an imperative to believe it. But that's actually not the way it's mentioned. It's just Anochi. It happens to be.
It's funny, the last the last sentence of the Parshat Tzitzis, Ani Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeitzim Eschemer Eretz Mitzrayim, is identical when you think about it to the Anochi Hashem Elokecha,
right,
which indicates that it's...
Which is why it's not surprising, Alan, well done, that a third theory is mentioned for the Shita of the Bahag, and this is mentioned by Ruchem Fischel Perlow in his beer to the Sefer Mitzvah of Sadrigon. I mentioned that Sadrigon also does not count the mitzvah, and Sefer Perlow uses that as a springboard to discuss this topic. And there he comes up with a creative idea, which I was going to say maybe is not so mukhruch, but now Alan says maybe it is more mukhruch. He says that in Chinami it is counted. It is counted, it's just not counted as its own mitzvah. And this, to be fair, we do have this a lot in the Rambam. And whenever the Rambam counts or doesn't count something, he's making two statements. Number one, whether he thinks it's a mitzvah at all. And number two, whether it fits into the system, his own self-designed system, that's what's called the Sharashim of his rules, of his internal rules that he gives. It could be, there's many things that are mitzvahs, but the Rambam doesn't count them in multiple times because based on his rules. So he's not going to count multiple death penalties, right? They're not four different mitzvahs. Or different things like that. There's all these different things, all these different halachas of a shomrim. Each kind of shomer is on a different halacha, on a different mitzvah. Right? There's a mitzvah called shomrim, and then there's dita. So there's a lot of examples of this, and there are even some, if you will, more invisible examples. Just to mention something I alluded to before, one of the famous omissions of the Rambam is he never counts mitzvah living in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a whole group of mafarshim who say, oh, it's because he didn't believe it's a mitzvah. Why not? And they explain why. But there's a whole other school of thought that says, no, the Rambam did mean it. It is counted. It is a mitzvah. It just, for technical reasons, didn't get its own mitzvah. It's subsumed into some others. So, for example, if you remember, this was, I think, 3 years ago already, we had this year, so Rav Schechter says, he has a whole essay to try to prove that the Rambam includes this in the mitzvah of Minay Melech. And Rav Yisraeli, Zichron Levracha, in his Sefer, Chavos Binyamin, so he includes it, because of the overlapping themes, in the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. Right, Birchas HaMazon, we include a parsha of thanking Hashem for the land. So how do you thank somebody? If somebody gives you a present on Hanukkah, you say thank you to it, and then you put it off to the side and never use it. So your thank you is a little bit felt. It's a little bit lacking. Says Rav Shaili, how can you thank Hashem for the land and never go there? You never use the present. So I think it's a little bit of a stretch. It's a little creative for my taste. But I give you just as an example where we see sometimes that within the Rambam, it's not unheard of to give this kind of an approach. So says Rav Perlow, we can use that approach here as well. Namely, that the Rambam really counts, that the Bahag and others really believe that it should be its own, it is a mitzvah, it is a tzivoy, but it's not counted independently in their opinion. In their opinion, it's included in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Again, the themes are the same, and the way he defines it is that the belief is, or the mitzvah I should say, is not just to believe it, but to express that belief. And the way we express that belief is on a twice daily basis, through Kriyas Shema. So that is a third approach to why the Bahag and others may not have quoted this, and that's very different than the first two. The first two of the Ramban and those who agree with him are saying they don't believe it's a mitzvah, but here's a good reason why not. And Rav Perlow is saying, you know, they do believe it's a mitzvah, and here's why they didn't count it. Very different approaches. And a final one, which was really, I probably should have mentioned before Perlow, because it's more akin to the first two, and that is that they think that it's not a mitzvah according to the Bahag. So the Or Hashem, again, of Chazdei Kreskis, so he's of a belief, and this relates to your point. He says, that again, this is, it would take us too far afield to test if he's right or not, but he does say what you were anticipating. He says is that you can't, any matters of belief cannot be mitzvahs. They're not volitionally. If you believe, you don't believe. But we can't be mitzvah someone to believe. Now that is a very controversial statement for a variety of obvious reasons, and in particular because it goes against, not that again he is allowed to be a Mitzvah, but it's just worth mentioning that it goes against one of the most famous commentaries on Parshas Yisro, that is the Eben Ezra on the last of the Dibros. We're talking about the first of the Dibros on Lo Sachma, where the Eben Ezra asks the question, so you can see this is in the air. In this Tekufa of Rishonim, this was in the air, the philosophical medieval period. Eben Ezra says, how can you say Lo Sachma, I shouldn't covet? That's an emotion. How can you command emotions? Right, so no, but that you could answer because the way they formulate the mitzvah, it's not an emotional mitzvah, it's a concrete mitzvah. You have to do it. It's behavioral. According to some, although that may be the focus of how you define Vyahapta and Ekonomi. This is, I'm going to get too far afield, but there's a lot of Torah here, obviously. Right, exactly. So the Eben Ezra happens to answer, no, he says, that's the question. And the answer is, Ekonomi, we can. And that's basically his answer in a nutshell. Yes, we can command beliefs. It's not just so instinctive. You can control what you believe. You can control your emotions. So that assumption is obviously contradicted by the Rav Chasdei Kreskes. Now, I don't know, I'd be curious if he ever addresses the Sachmo then, because he can't give the answer of the Eben Ezra. So how does he understand the Sachmo? I don't know.
Some people say it's got to be concrete. You can't force somebody to
So maybe that's what he says. Well, no, that's a halacha. That's just somebody. That's a halacha. Right. You're only over the Sachmo if you actually work on the action. That's correct.
What
it does relate, yes, absolutely it relates. Again, the Ani Mamins aren't listed specific mitzvahs. In other words, there's none of the other, I don't think. Are there any other of the, I don't want to speak too definitively, but I don't know if there are any of the other Ani Mamins which are mitzvahs, as their beliefs, important beliefs. But I don't know if they're specific mitzvahs. Right? This is, okay, so it overlaps. Yes, the first of the Ani Mamins relates to the first mitzvah here. Yes, that's correct. That's another place, if you want to take a look. The Ani Mamins, just as an aside, the Ani Mamins are relatively recent vintage, and they were not written at all by the Rambam. Well after the Rambam died, the Ani Mamins came into existence. The Rambam originally wrote these theories. The Rambam wrote it in longhand in his Hagdama to the Tav Perek of Masechet Sanhedrin, the Perek Chelek, and the Perek Mishnayos. So if you take a look at the Rambam there, that is, if we were looking for, if we were doing a graduate paper on the Rambam Shita here, so that would be another place we would look to complement it, because he actually has some more extensive discussion, not only, as I mentioned, in two places in Sefer Mitzvos, but also now in the Paris.
So what's the Chabra of the Animal?
That's not our topic. We don't even, I'm not even sure we know, but that's not our topic. That's not, yeah, that's one of the great mysteries. You can take a look, go to the website, you'll take a look, it's available on the website, I'll also show you how. You can listen to the three-part series we had a few years ago. I'm not joking, I'm being serious. That we discussed it then. We did discuss that a little bit in one of those lectures gone back a few years ago. Before we get to one of the, to some of the other primary makoros, Mechilta, to Gemaras perhaps, that are argued over by the Rishonim as to who's, maybe we can have a proof or not, just to mention one thing that relates to everything we've seen now is the fact that everyone agrees that there's no bracha on the mitzvah. They don't say hini luchem lezumen to make a bracha. Shikam zano lahamin b'Hashem. Right? There's no such bracha, even according to the Rambam. So why not? So there's different theories behind that, because in general we know there's different theories in why a lot of mitzvot don't have brachos, and you just have to think about it one by one, and you can plug a few of them in. So for example, one of the theories that we could suggest, the Or Zeruah, for example, says that we never make brachos on mitzvot that are constant. The way the Or Zeruah understands the role of Berachos HaMitzvos is that something that is ba mizman zman, so there's a certain excitement, right? Something new, we didn't have it, now we have it. And part of that excitement and hislavas for a mitzvah is concretized by the bracha we make before we have the mitzvah. As opposed to a mitzvah which is constant, so there's no break where there would be an opportunity to sort of get re-excited and make the bracha on that re-excitement. And, he doesn't mention, but it's worth noting, as some of you may know, that the Sefer Achinuch has a well-known formulation in his Hakdama, where he writes that there are six mitzvos tamidios, six constant mitzvos. If it's not as well-known from the Chinuch primarily, it's because in the beginning, in the Siman Aleph, Sif Aleph, and Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Halacha, on the comments of Shvisi Hashem, Lenagdi Samid, the Bir Halacha quotes this Chinuch of the six mitzvos tamidios, and the first one is belief in Hashem. So belief in, can I ask you, we've just opened the door a little bit, I'm afraid that I'll be talking to myself because everyone's going to fall asleep. The heat's working, can I know her very well here? Okay.
What about Bechas HaTayrit? It's a pretty bit of Timidius.
Oh, learn.
He's a by the end of the
So who said that's what the bracha's on? Okay.
When you're asleep at night, Too far afield.
Okay. I thought we've given a shiur on Bechas HaTayrit. If we haven't, you'll remind me, but we'll find a good opportunity to do so, and I'll address that question then, I promise. But that's not for now. Another answer that's given suggests perhaps that Rajba has a well-known tshuva, Chelek Aleph, Simon Yerches, and the tshuvas HaRajba, where he has a whole theory on different mitzvahs. It's not one theory. He gives through many different ones, gives explanations. One of the things that the tshuvas HaRajba there says is that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah that has no maaseh. So it's just a belief mitzvah. It could be a mitzvah. He's not denying it could be a mitzvah. But you wouldn't make a bracha on such a thing. And the third possibility, which is interesting, which really is somewhat unique to this, is perhaps something that the Ritva says, as well as the Avud Raham. Why don't we make a bracha on Kriya Shema? There's a mitzvah to have Kriya Shema. Why don't we make a bracha on Kriya Shema? We have the bracha Kriya Shema, but it's not a Shekhar General, Moses of Yisivan. Why not? So their theory is, again, just unlike the Or Zeruah, for example, who said that the bracha... I think the door closed again, Bruce. It's a conspiracy. I'm trying to be as exciting as I can, but I can't compete with the heat. Get up and dance. unlike the Or Zeruah, who said that the purpose of the bracha is to, so to speak, concretize the excitement you have on a mitzvah that comes from time to time, and therefore that would that we can plug that into the emunah issue. So the Abu Draham or the Ritva, they have a different theory entirely. They say, what's the purpose of the bracha in general? Before you do shaking lola, before you light Hanukkah candles, what's the purpose of a bracha? To be makabel l'malchus shamayim. We're makabel the idea that Hashem's sovereignty is who is commanding us. Again, it's almost so obvious because it's really in the words. But they say, therefore, the therefore is, this is what's not as obvious, is that if you have a mitzvah whose entire essence is kabbalah l'malchus shamayim, then a bracha is superfluous. So Kriya Shema, where the whole purpose is kabbalah l'malchus shamayim, we need a bracha for it. That's what the whole Kriya Shema is for. So too, if Amunah b'Hashem could be a tzivui, it could be a mitzvah, but it is already. That is the point. You don't need a bracha to tell me I have to believe in Hashem about a mitzvah, which is to believe in Hashem. So that's ad kan, that chelik of the shir, the different shitos, and the well-known two or three reasons why the Bahag and others might not quote the mitzvah of believing Hashem, even though obviously they believe in Hashem and think we all have to believe in Hashem. But again, it may fundamentally or may for technical reasons not be a mitzvah per se. The Rishonim discuss in this battle over the mitzvah, they discuss a number of different gemaras or midrashim or makomos, which may be dispositive, which may be rayas one way or the other. And I wanted to mention a few of them now and some of the back and forth that is included in this. The first one we'll start with really is the Gemara in the end of Masech Tamakos. You're all familiar with this Gemara. It's a very well-known and beloved Gemara. And in fact, the Rambam discusses it. Mamash, in the second sentence of the Rambam, right off the bat, he tells you, again, it's almost like he was anticipating or sensitive to the fact that this is a controversial shita of his, that he's counting this mitzvah. And he goes right away to defend himself without anyone asking on him. He just anticipates the problem. And he says, I have a raya. Ubesov Gemara Makos, in the end of the Gemara Makos, this is the famous Gemara, right? We have this tradition of Taryag Mitzvos. So where does it come from? Rav Simlai, a famous tradition in the Gemara Masech Makos, where we ask, where do we know that there are the 613 mitzvos? And they point out Torah, but Torah is Gematria 611, the Gemara says. So, well, what are we going to do? So the Gemara answers that Anochi Vloyemi Piegvura Shamanum. That's that Gemara. So the Rambam says, you see, Beferish, Shinei Nizbar Lecha, Anochi Hashem, Mechlal Taryag, Mitzvah Sud Tzivoy Be'emunas Elokus, Kemo Shebiyarnu. And it seems like almost too good of a right to be true. I mean, how do you get out of such a proof? The Gemara says it's only 611 mitzvos. Oh, there's Lo Yia, and there's Lo Yia, and Anochi, now you have 613. So how could anyone say that Anochi should be part of 613? The Gemara seems to say it black on white, and that's the Rambam quotes this as a proof. So the Ramban is equal to the task. Again, it's just fascinating that even though the Ramban himself in two other places agrees with the Rambam, just like, so to speak, the Rosh HaManah, the Abarbanel, in the opposite direction, he can defend the Rambam even though he can disagree with him. So the Abarbanel, the Ramban, can defend the Bahag even when he disagrees with him with great intellectual vigor. And he says, no, even this is not a Raya. Why not? Because all that Gemara means to say is that these two mitzvos were that there were two mitzvos that were heard directly mi pi hagvura. But it does not say anywhere in the Gemara what those two mitzvos were. It's talking about the parsha of Anochi Eloyia, which many of the parshim point out is a run-on in that there is no stop, right? There's no pause in the Torah, right? Unlike all the other remaining eight divros where you have a space. This, there's no space. There's no parsha break. It goes straight in. But Lamaisa, that's why it's referred to as the general category of Anochi Eloiya. The bottom line, says the Ramban, what are those two mitzvos which are Mashlim the 613? Both of them are Losa says that to the Avodah Zarah. One is that you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, and the other is you're not allowed to make Avodah Zarah. Those are two separate mitzvos, not one. The Rambam quotes them as two separate. Others might lump that all as one and count Anochi as an individual one. But the Ramban says, no, the correct counting is that Anochi, according to this, is not part of the counting. But you still have your 613 because the Lo'iya actually can break down into more than one mitzvah. And that's all you see from the Gemara. The Gemara was only meaning to say that that whole group of psukim is in the first or second person, it's not in the third person, because those were directly the Piyagvur. That's all the Gemara was saying, but not that Anochi was itself a mitzvah. That's the Ramban's defense to try to get out of this Raya. the Megillas Esther, in the Leif Sameach, these other commentaries, they point out that from the Lashon of the Gemara's perspective, it's a little bit of a dachuk. And then there is, as I say, a whole discussion of Chasdei Kresis gets involved, the Avarbanel. The time is late, I don't want to get more into it, but Lamaisa, that seems to be a good raya. You could perhaps get out of it. Another issue, which just to mention quickly, is the Mechilta. The Mechilta talks about a mashal, a human ruler comes to a town, and the people say, give us rules, and he says, give you rules, you don't even know who I am, you don't who am I, how can I give you rules? First you have to accept me as your ruler, and then I can give you rules. And because of that, that's how the Mechilta seems to break down, lo anochi, and then lo yiyeh. So, the Pashtus, this is a raya for the Bahag, because it separates first accepting the ruler, and then there being zeros. And in fact, the Ramban and others quote this as a raya for the Bahag. And this is a discussion. And if you take a look at the Rosh Hamanah, the Abarbanel there in Perek Yilches, he tries to defend the Rambam from this particular raya, and he assumes that it could be both. It could be both. That Anochi can be both the foundation and the first tzivu. Because I'm Anochi, therefore you should believe that I'm Anochi. That type of idea. For I am the ruler, and you must accept me as the ruler. That could be rule number one. Number two is don't have any other rules. That's a little bit of the issue. And then finally, just to close, sorry we're rushing here at the end, there's a Gemara in Horios, of all places, on Daf Ches Amud Beis, which the Taj Beitz, I believe, was the first, one of the first, I take it back, the Rosh Hamanah, I mean, the Barbanel was one of the first to discuss this. Barbanel and the Taj Beitz are the two to discuss this. And there, that Gemara they want to claim is a raya for the Bahag. Why? Because the Gemara is talking about what is the, without getting into details, the Shach Levatari, the Gemara concludes, what is the first Mi'ikara, what was the first mitzvah? Avodah Zarah. That's the term of the Gemara, Avodah Zarah. So the Taj Beitz says, how come it didn't say Anochi? Avodah Zarah is the second mitzvah. The first one is to affirmatively, positively believe in Hashem. How come it only goes right to the negative of Avodah Zarah? So the Taj Beit says, oh, you see from this, he's convinced that this was the Raya, which told the Bahag that it must not be Elamai, it must not be a mitzvah, the first mitzvah must be Lo Yiyeh. However, as I said, there are major defenses of this, a few different defenses. First of all, we take a look at Rashi and that Gemara, Mamet Rashi and that Gemara. Rashi, when he talks about Avodah Zarah, Rashi says, Anochi v'lo yiyelecha. Who says that Avodah Zarah meant to exclude Anochi? The Taj Beitz thinks so. But in fact, Rashi himself on that Gemara does not think so. Furthermore, the Bris Moshe, which is a commentary written on the Smag, Sahi, and also Rabbi Chaim Heller, the Masada Rav Kook version of the Sefer Mitzvot, is a critical edition put out by Rabbi Chaim Heller, which is the one I have here. So Rabbi Chaim Heller in the notes also mentions the same thing in this Bris Moshe, and his name is this Bris Moshe, that if you take a look, one of the Mefarshim, one of the Sfarim on the Maseches Horios is called the Be'er Moshe, and the Be'er Moshe points out that when the Gemara says, what is that original mitzvah of Zarah, it wasn't talking about Anochi, and it wasn't even talking about Lo'iyah. Why start with Har Sinai? That's well into human history. It was going all the way back, Me'ikara, what's the first thing? To Adam Arishon, there's a halacha of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Sanhedrin, when it's listing the shepherds of Bnei Noach, and they don't just start with Noach. The first one was already Avodah Zarah, which was given to Adam. So that's what he says the Gemara was talking about, so it has nothing to do in Gansan, has nothing to do at all with our question. So either one of those two theories would defend the Rambam and insulate him from this proof, perhaps, of Maseches Horos. But if you be that as it may, what should I say? We should all believe in Hashem. Good Shabbos.